Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
But says this in chapter 6, verse 27. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. Chapter 7, verse 1 says, But, I don't like that. You ever heard somebody say, well, man, everything's going great, but I need to tell you this. That's where we're at right here. He says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zeruah of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against, watch this, the children of Israel. I find it interesting that Achan was the only one that done it, but the anger of God was kindled against all of Israel. It wasn't just against one person, but it was against all of Israel. I thought about this. Chapter 6 is a great victory. One said it this way, the moment of greatest danger in the life of a believer is that which immediately follows a great spiritual victory. The moment of the greatest danger in the life of a believer is that which immediately follows a great spiritual victory. You remember after Jesus fasted and prayed what happened, don't you? The devil came to it. Many times there's great victories, there's always going to be great temptations to follow it. There's going to be great battles to follow it a lot of times. And I want to look at this for just a little bit tonight and see if the Lord will help us. God, you know the need of the service. God, you know who's here. God, you know who's watching. You know who will listen to this through, God, the podcast that goes out. God, hundreds of people listen to that. God, my heart's desire is just to be pleasing to you. God, will give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I thought about this. Achan, whenever you study chapter 7, commits a sin before God and all of Israel. And I'm not going to take time to go into all of that accursed thing. You can go home, you can study the Bible. They was not to take of it. Achan took of it. Achan hid it. And the judgment of God fell not only on Israel, but on Achan and on Achan's family. Let's think about sin for just a moment tonight. What is sin? The Bible says this, therefore, him that knoweth to do good doeth not, to him it's sin. The Bible said this, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And sin, we know what sin is tonight. It's Wednesday night. We're not teaching to, if I could say it this way, adolescents in the Christian walk. We know what sin is tonight. When we think about sin, we often have this mentality. What I do outside the church is no one's business. This may sound all right, but in all reality, it's all wrong. Can I say that again? It may sound all right, but in all reality, it's all wrong. Look at what the Bible said. If you want to turn with me, I've got this marked so I can turn quickly. But look what the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he picks up in verse 12, and he begins to talk about the body of Christ. And he says this in verse 26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. If I could give you a practical application of that tonight, it's simply this. We hurt because Miss Vicky hurts tonight. We mourn because Brother Josh and Miss Tanya mourns tonight. And our actions affect more than ourselves. I thought about this. If a venomous snake, here a while back I was fishing last summer. Me and Olivia was fishing together, and we had a pond that was just super clean around it. And we drove the golf cart over there to it, and I was barefooted walking around it. And I stepped across a little branch where Doug was walking around the backside of it. And I seen something, and it literally went across the edge of my foot and into the water. And whenever I looked, it was a great big water snake. And you say, what did you say? I think I talked in tongues. It scared me to death, man. I'm telling you, it did. And I thought about this about 4 or 5 years ago, 6 or 7 years ago. Me and Olivia was fishing, and we was at another pond that wasn't clean around it. And we took a little John boat and slid it off in there, and we'd fish till dark. And I'd run that John boat back up on the bank, and I told Olivia, I said, let me get out and pull it up further. Then you get out, and I'm just going to carry you over and put you in the truck, because it was growed up around there. So I did, and whenever I went to pull the boat up after I got her in the truck to put it in the truck, I caught something out of my peripheral vision, and a snake hit me on my calf and bit me on my calf. And you said, what'd you do? I absolutely panicked is what I'd done. And I think I called Brother Brian first, and I sent him a picture of it, and then Dr. Etzel, I sent him a picture of it, and they said, yes, it is a snake bite. Watch it. So I was watching it, and I was thinking, I'm going to die and wreck the truck, and Olivia's going to die. I'm usually not like that. I'm pretty calm when things happen, but it was to me this time. Now think about something. If it had hit me on the back of the leg, or if it had even bit me on the toe, and it had been venomous, you know what would have been affected? It wasn't just my toe that would have been affected. My whole body would have been affected by that. And what he is saying is this, we can say what I do outside the church is my own business. It ain't nobody else's business. I live my life the way I want to. But when we're part of the church, when you mess up, it affects everybody. When one mourns, we all mourn. When one's in trouble, we're all in trouble. And he's saying this, and he even talks to us about it right here, and we see it in the life of Achan. Thought about this in this story. The trouble that affected the camp did not originate, listen to me, from the enemy outside the camp. It originated from inside the camp. And you've heard me say this so many times. I got to hurry because I've got a lot of things wrote down. But you've heard me say this so many times. Trouble in a church don't come from outside the church. It comes from inside the church. The church is not going to split from outside. The church will split from inside. I thought about this. Satan was where? In the garden. Where was Judas? In the 12. Where was Achan? In the camp of Israel. And we've got to be careful what we do and how we do, because what we do affects everybody around us. A lot of times people says that my sin only affects me. We'll see by the end of the story in Achan's life that it affects more than you. It affects the children of Israel. It affected them losing a battle. It cost lives. Why? Because the sin of one. And what we do has an effect on other people. So we've got to be careful. Now, I guess we could say that we're doing Con Ed tonight. We're just simply doing a continuing education tonight about sin and how sin can absolutely destroy our life. How we can be, I thought about several different ones today that was a man who was doing so good, and then all of a sudden, man, they turn and go down a different road. They go down a different path. What happens? Sin gets into their life. I thought about this. A lot of times we think about sin and we want to say that we think about the drunkard, or we think about the harlot, or we think about the murderer. But man, sin. Matter of fact, God said these six things die. Hey, yea, seven's an abomination. He that soweth discord among the brethren. Now, I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of people out of church today because some long-tongued Jezebel run their mouth and didn't know what she was talking about. And instead of that individual trying to get to the bottom of it and going to a pastor and sitting down, they ended up completely getting out of church. Now, I'll take it a step further. They spend some time, some long-tongued Jezebels run their mouth and a pastor believed them, and it caused a mess in church. And now you can say, man, because I'm preaching to preachers now. And that's the reason, Brother Ramsey, it's so important that we are discerning to the Holy Spirit of God and making sure that we bear witness with him when we deal with situations. Well, Achan here look with me in verse 21. Let's look at Achan. Joshua's now brought him before, and go home and read chapter 7. But Joshua's brought him before the people. Joshua knows that he's messed up. And he says this in verse 21. Achan says, "When I saw among the spoils of Babylonian or a Babylonious garment, and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight." That's the accursed thing. He's not supposed to have anything to do with that. Watch this. "Then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it." Let me show you five things and I'll be done tonight. Number one, I'm watching the time. I'm going to move through them quickly. Some of these I've talked about, but sometimes it helps us to be stirred up by being put in remembrance. Number one, there's the glance of discernment in verse number 21. What did he say? He said this. He said 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold and 50 shekels of weight. "Then I coveted them." Then I coveted them. There's the glance. Go back to the beginning of verse 21. "When I saw them." That's where it all started at. It started with what he was looking at. You know, it doesn't matter. Can I just say this to you? It doesn't matter what you're looking at. It does matter what you're letting enter through your eye gate. It does matter. I thought about this, Genesis 3, the woman saw, and it was pleasant to her eyes. I thought about this, Genesis 13, Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the plain of Jordan. I thought about 2 Samuel 11, what happened with David. David saw. He said the woman was very beautiful to look upon. I thought about the prodigal son. You know where it all started at? He began to look into a far country. And I'm going to tell you something. You better be real careful where you're looking at tonight. You better be real careful. That glance of discernment. I thought about this. These tonight are great tools. Matter of fact, there's a lot of time saving that you can do with this. And they're great tools tonight. I like it. I keep my date book on it. I keep my journal on it. I like journaling on it because I can put pictures in it. And I can look back and read about it and read about that picture. And I'm going to tell you something. These right here has destroyed so many families tonight. Are you with me? Why? Because they saw something. They saw something. And I'm just going to tell you tonight, boy, be careful what you're looking at. Be careful what you're fixing your eyes on. Be careful what you're glancing at. There's some things I understand that we can't help that we see, but we can help if we turn around and look at it again. Now, say that to you again. A lot of people said David done nothing wrong by walking upon the rooftop. He did do something wrong because it was a time when kings go forth to battle and David tarried still at Jerusalem. If he'd have been where he's supposed to be, he'd have never been on that rooftop. Are you with me? But a lot of people want to say, well, he just saw her. That wasn't wrong. To see something is one thing. To glare upon it. To turn around and take a second look. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There was the glance of discernment. But watch this, number two. There was the glare of desire. He said, "I saw it," but now look what he does. "Then I coveted." Then I coveted. He took a long, hard look, and what he saw, he liked. And what he liked, he decided he should have. It was a very selfish desire. No doubt his conscience and even his conviction told him no, but his sinful desire took over. And I know sometimes we say this, "I've got a gut feeling about this. I've got a gut feeling about this." I don't necessarily know it's a gut feeling. Sometimes it's a Holy Ghost unction. That's saying, you understand what I'm saying? Boy, you better get away from that. You better not. Matter of fact, my wife and I was talking this week, and she said this. She said, "My spirit don't bear witness." You know what she was saying? The old timers would have said it this way. I got a gut feeling something just ain't right about that. I got a gut feeling about that. And I'm going to tell you something. That glance of desire, no doubt God was saying no. But when he saw it, that discernment was this. He didn't listen to the Holy Ghost. and he began to glare upon it and to covet it and to look after it. I remember years ago traveling to Rock of Ages, my cousin Andy, which is Jacob's uncle, but my cousin Andy traveled with us. And I remember we'd walk by a new vehicle, and Andy would always say this, "You know what, John?" I'd say, "What, Andy?" He'd say, "I wish I had that one, and they had a brand new one." And I'd say, "Do what?" He said, "If I just said I wish I had that, it's coveting. But if I wish they had a new one and I had that one, it's not coveting it." We got to be real careful, though. We got to be real careful what we go to coveting tonight. I'm just being real with you tonight. The glare of desire, the glance of discernment. But I thought about this. There was the grip of degradation. The grip of degradation. Looking in verse number 21, he said this, "I saw, I coveted, and watch this, I took." I took. If you don't take control over what you're looking at and over what you're starting to covet, it won't be long you'll be taking it. It won't be long you'll be taking it. I'm going to tell you something. The man that his home's in a million pieces tonight didn't end up in the mess that he's in over one look. The young person that is in the mess that they're in tonight didn't end up there just over one little glance. Let me tell you what happened. Here's what happened. They began to walk away from the Spirit of God moving in their life. They began to shut conviction out. They began to think with their heart. The dumbest advice you can ever give anybody is to trust your heart. When somebody says that to me, it shows me their ignorance of the Word of God. Boy, who can know it? It's despitefully wicked, what the Bible says. And what happens? They begin to glance at something, and they begin to glare at it, and before long, they don't have a hold of it. It's got a hold of them. Achan didn't have a hold of the accursed thing. The accursed thing had a hold of him. He took a long, hard look, and then it ended up taking control of his life. Watch this, number four. There's the game of deception. There's the game of deception. I thought about this, and I'm trying to rush through this tonight. I really would take an hour and preach it. But in that grip of degradation, Achan now goes directly against God's command. And can I say something? Anytime you go against God's word, are you hearing me right there? Anytime you go against God's word, you're headed down the wrong road. Every time we deliberately sin, we challenge the judgment of God onto our life. Are you hearing me tonight? The grip of degradation. Look at the game of deception. What did he say? He said, "I took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it." What did he do? He had to hide it. Sin always, I read this week, sin always leads to secrecy. Can I say that again? Sin always leads to secrecy. If you have to, listen to me, if you have to clear the history, if you have to delete the message, I'll give you my tablet tonight, and you're welcome to look at my history, because whatever's on my computer and whatever's on my phone is on it. You're welcome to look at my history. Are you with me tonight? You're welcome to read any text message you want to, with the exception of the text messages between the deacons and I and my wife and I. You say, "Well, why? Because the deacons and I." Well, just because there's some things we talk about that just needs to stay between us. Are you with me? But anything else, you're welcome to read it. If you want to meet me at 218 North Main Street tomorrow, I'll log you into my county computer and you can look at anything you want to on that. Sin leads to secrecy. And if you have to hide it from mama I know we don't have many of the single people in here, but if you have to hide it from mama, if you have to hide it from daddy, if you have to hide it from your wife, if you have to hide it from your husband, I'm telling you tonight, you're headed down the wrong road. You know what sin does? Sin makes us a coward. Sin makes us a coward tonight. I thought about this. What did Adam and Eve do? They run and hid themselves. They run and hid themselves. I thought about this. What did, whenever you study Amnon out, what did Amnon do? He had everyone out from among him. Are you with me? What did David say? Bring her in to me. He hid himself. And sin always leads to secrecy. Achan was more concerned that Israel not find out about what God had already knew about. And we may, and I want to say this to you tonight, I'm going to give you the last thought. We may can hide it from our spouse. But I'll never forget, and you know what I'm fixing to say, my mama. I'd leave to go on a date, my mama would look at me and she'd say this, boy. I'd say, yes, ma'am. She'd say, well, you better remember, there's an all-seeing eye watching you. And I may not see what you do tonight, but God does. I'll tell you something. I never forgot it. Are you with me? But God does. You say, preacher, why do we have to be careful? Here's the reason we have to be careful. Because we're one decision away from our homes being destroyed. I'm one decision away from losing my wife. I'm one decision away from losing my children. I'm one decision away from losing my ministry. I'm one choice away from that, one choice. And when we come to the place that we think we have arrived on the scene and we're above sin, Daddy used to always say this, the only way you'll ever live above sin is to get an apartment above the beer joint. They don't hardly know what beer joints is today, but y'all understand what I'm saying. We can't live above sin. And I'm going to tell you something, that we ought to strive every day to keep sin out of our life. There's the game of deception. I thought about what the Bible said in Numbers chapter number 32, verse number 33. Be sure your sin will find you out. It will. It did Achan. It did David. It did Amnon. And on we could go throughout the Word of God. Be sure your sin will find you out. Number five, I see the groan of disobedience. You see, it affected. And yeah, I'm just telling you what the Lord told me to tell you tonight. The groan of disobedience. When you read chapter 7, starting in verse 22 through verse 26, Achan is brought before all of Israel and is stoned to death. Achan is stoned to death for the sin that he committed. But watch this, his wife and his children also. His wife and his children died also because of his sin. The groan of disobedience is this, it always affects more than just you. It always affects more than you. Now I ask you a question, Madeline, do you care to come start playing something softly? Can I ask you a question tonight? Have you began to look in the wrong direction? That's where it started with Achan. He said, I looked at it and I saw it. We see things all the time. But you know what we have a choice to do? We have a choice whether to glance at it or to glare at it. Sit down with our girls the other night and I said, hey, look. There's just some things that ain't coming across our TV screen anymore. I'm just being honest with you tonight. You run your house the way you want to run it, okay? That's your house. You do it the way God leads you. But I'm going to tell you, Hollywood is pushing all of this secular junk and this woke movement down our throats through a TV screen today. And I'm going to tell you what it'll do. It will desensitize you to what you see and to the way you feel about it. After over 25 years of volunteer fire service, in the closing of last year, I got out of the fire service. December 31st, I was done. I got out of the fire service. And I still do the chaplain coordinator for the sheriff's office, so I still see a lot more things than I want to. But Miss Vicki, I can take you back to the place, first time I seen a dead body at 16 years old, right before you get to Southside Baptist Church, going towards it out of Yadkinville on the left. There's a White House sitting off the road. There's actually a guardrail there. It wasn't there at the time. And I'll never forget 1994, those two cars hit head on and one of them overturned down that embankment. And a six-year-old boy died in that wreck. And back then, it wasn't, but Tim, all this junior stuff, and you can't do this, and you can't do that. As soon as they got the vehicle stabilized, I was the smallest person. I went and recovered the body out from underneath of the six-year-old boy. I remember the 3 or 4 week old baby that we got out of it, Brother Aaron, and the mama. I can tell you exactly what they look like to this day. I can tell you who was walking across the field with us to put them on air care at the time and watched it fly off. And I'm going to tell you, it scarred my mind forever. But the more I seen it, Miss Vicki, the less it affected me. I'm just being honest with you. The less it affected me. And Brother Ramsey, you know what I'm saying. We can be around those things tonight, and the biggest part of the time, we go home, take a shower, get something to drink, and just go to bed. But the air and it just don't bother us like it once did. Why? Because we are desensitized to it. Because we see it over and over. The other night, I came in from a call out with the sheriff's office, and I was talking to Leslie just briefly about it. And there's a lot of things I don't share with nobody because of confidentiality. We share it with us that's on the scene, and that's it. And she said, do you ever just feel overwhelmed? And I said, I used to. She said, I just don't feel like I'm as sensitive to it as I used to be. And I said, well, I know I'm not. You still hurt with people. But Brother Jonathan, you know what I'm saying. 20 years of law enforcement, the things that you've seen. And I'm going to tell you what Hollywood's doing. They're taking a TV and they're pumping a condemned movement. Are you with me tonight? Something that we used to stand up and preach hard against, a sodomite movement. What God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah over. And they're pumping it into our minds that it's just an alternative lifestyle. And that people was born this way. And can I just time out and say this? Number one, they wasn't. But if they was, they still had a choice to make. And it's sin in the eyes of God. And they have to make the choice to turn from their sin. That we just accept it today. And you know what we do if we're not careful? We become desensitized to that because we see it so much. I just told the girls, I said, here's about the only thing that's going to be played around the Barker's house for a while. And they said, well, what's that? I said, probably a little bit of the Rifleman. Because I like it. Andy Griffith. Are you with me? Why? Because we see it. And when it gets in our eye gate, it's always there. And when we see it, and we see it, and we see it, and we see it, and we see it, all of a sudden it's not as bad as it used to be. If Achan would have dealt with what he was seeing when he saw it, he may have saved his whole family. But the gloom
the gloom of him rejecting the words of God was his whole family died that day. May God help us tonight to watch ourselves and to guard ourselves and to keep ourselves right. Father.